We're really glad you're here this morning. As Jeremy mentioned, so Jeremy is one of our elders here. Let's give him a round of applause, everything that he does. And if you're visiting with us, Restoration Fellowship is a shared leadership community. And so all that means, and which we're going to talk actually a little bit today, is that we have kind of a plurality of leadership instead of a head guy. We share the load on messaging team, and basically every ministry that you'll see in Restoration Fellowship has a team involved, and part of that is to make sure that the body is engaged fully in their giftings or in your giftings, and hopefully avoid burnout as much as possible, because we want to be a body that works together and engages one another in love. So with that said, my name is Rory Burnett. I have the honor to serve on the messaging team as well as the elder team. And like I said, I'm really, really glad you guys are here today. So let's pray, and we're going to hop in. So Jesus, we thank you for this community. We thank you that you pour out your spirit. Thank you for worship, Lord, that you bring us together, whether we know each other or not, that our commonality is your spirit and your blood, Jesus. And so we just pray that you would engage us this morning in your goodness, in Jesus' name. All right. Well, I'm super excited. We're wrapping up our activation series and spiritual gifts today. And this has been such a fruitful series. I don't know if you guys agree with me on that, but from me looking out at how the body has been engaging, it's been super fruitful. And this is going to be a really fun launch from this activation series into discipleship, which we're going to start in 2 weeks, and then as well carrying on the biblical feasts next week. And so I love how we're kind of going through and really storing up memory on our website of these topics that, like for me, often if I need to have a refresher, I just go online and I'll listen to messages that we've done in the past instead of, man, we really need to do that again. Instead, it's let's go and get reaffirmed in that so that we can keep walking forward. So this morning, we are diving into words of knowledge and evangelism, which we're gonna partner together today. Words of knowledge can be an on-ramp of curiosity into establishing the legitimacy of truth, which is Jesus, and the power of the gospel, which allows for evangelism to come in. So words of knowledge can be one of the on-ramps to get us to the gospel. The most important aspect, and we have said it over and over throughout this entire series, and we're going to continue to say it until Jesus comes, is that the most important aspect to every gift is love. And if we are rooted and grounded in love, which only comes through the Father, as we look upon Him, we understand what true love is. And so as we are rooted in that intimacy with the Father, made through Jesus, we can encounter His love. The purpose of all of these gifts is to be an edification to the body of Christ until Jesus comes. And they are tools that we can put into our tool belt that help us get those He loves, which are all man. Can we agree on that? That's a very important factor. That Jesus loves all men and all women. And so those that He loves, to bring them in to the body so that we can encounter them with encountering Him. Amen? Okay. So where we're heading, and we just said it in our Kingdom People Covenant, is as we grow in intimacy with Jesus, we are becoming a purified bride. And that is the job of the church, that as we long for Jesus' return, that we become a bride made ready, which is intimacy and holiness. And all of these things that we're talking about with spiritual gifts are merely tools in order to edify the body and to hopefully establish holiness through Jesus. So 2 Peter 1, 12 through 13 says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think that it is right, as long as I am in this life or in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." So what Paul is saying here, what Peter is saying here, is he's talking actually in the context of godliness, but this is for really everything that is preached up here from the pulpit. There's going to be a lot of things that you guys know already. And the job of the body of Christ is that we are stirring one another up in truth and even things that we might know about until the day of the Lord. And so if you feel like checking out because like, oh, I've been there, done that, I'm encouraging you, don't do that. Thank you, Bethany. Don't do that. Just be encouraged again and re-up with where Jesus has us. Okay. The call to evangelism. Evangelism is not a suggestion. And I just want to get that out of the way. It could be interpreted as one of the primary marching orders for following Jesus. So in Matthew 28, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And so, you know, you look at this verse and you're like, well, Rory, I don't see evangelism in here. But in order to make disciples, which we're going to be talking about the rest of this summer, in order to make disciples, we have to have people in order to disciple. So evangelism is actually bringing in the lost into the fold of the body of Christ to then we can start working on maturity. We can start working on all of these things, which takes 100% of the people in here, right? We don't hire evangelists like we do a marketing team. This is not a marketing thing. This is, we are all called into evangelism. And what we're going to be talking about today is how that flavor actually shows up. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, my evangelists in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth." So what it's saying there is that when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit through Christ, we then turn into witnesses. That's the call of God on our lives. That's our first thing. And that's what we do with everything we love, right? If there's something that you are really passionate about, you're going to tell other people. They're going to know. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it in gentleness and respect." And so this context, what we're talking about is unbelievers. And, you know, the first part is making a defense. So we feel like this is an intense thing. But as we are engaging with non-believers, we are to be gentle and kind. Right? This is not a fight of the mind. We're not trying to convince them that I am right and you're wrong in these scenarios. We're trying to convince them that the hope that is in me should be in you. And that's the defense. Because they're saying, what's different about you? Why do you have so much hope? I want that too in my life. So that's what it's talking about. But in order to be prepared to make a defense, that's where all of the other spiritual gifts that we've talked about culminate into one, right? In order to be an effective evangelist, we have to know the word, right? We have to be strong in the word. There's going to be aspects of the prophetic gifting. There's going to be aspects of the pastoral. There's going to be aspects of the apostolic. And all of these things kind of culminate into, let's get people in the door and then feed into these other giftings. So let's talk about the flavors of evangelism real quick. So the primary gifting in the office of evangelist is a passion for the simplicity of the gospel to bring people into the kingdom by spreading the gospel by any means necessary, right? And that, ooh, that scares me, right? I am not an evangelist. That's not my primary gifting. But if you know anybody that is their primary gifting, they'll do whatever. They'll go out on the streets, they'll talk in front of big stages, they'll do whatever it takes to spread the gospel. So just understand that we, all of us, have this number one gifting, and just because it's not evangelist doesn't mean that you're disqualified, okay? So for this primary gifting evangelist, there is an urgency for spreading the gospel rooted in seeing people through God's eyes. So they have this supernatural ability. Some walk it out, some don't, but they have a supernatural ability to see these people, this stranger, the homeless guy on the street, through God's eyes, saying they need to be in the kingdom because God loves them and I have that heart for them today. That pushes away the fear of man because they have this, they have God's eyes, and it brings in the fear of the Lord to really love the person in front of you. And so that's what we have to do, right? In order to love the person, whoever God puts in front of you, is you have to push off the fear of man and accept the fear of the Lord. You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, this fear of the Lord, what all that means is not that we are afraid of God in this context. I'm not saying talking about that. I'm saying, God, I don't want to miss what you have in front of me. Because what I don't want is to be on judgment day, sitting before your throne, the great white throne, and being judged saying, Rory, I put you in front of that guy or in front of that girl to preach my gospel. Or even worse, I've heard of different dreams that people have had when they are coming to the Lord getting deeper into the Lord, of a dream that the Lord will give them about on judgment day, looking at different people that are in their lives, and those people crying out in anguish, saying, Rory, I was right in front of you. Why didn't you tell me of the great hope? So when I say fear the Lord, that's what I'm talking about. Is that on that day, the more I'm growing with the Lord, the more that this fear of the Lord has been rooted inside of me. That God, on that day, I do not want to look at any man or any woman and say, Rory, why didn't you say something? So, going back to this primary gifting of evangelists, a couple of names that you'll recognize. Billy Graham, right? He was the greatest evangelist of our time. He would do whatever it took. And if you talk to people that knew him personally, who he was on stage was the same guy he was in the background. It was whoever he encountered, they had to know that there is some good news and that Jesus is ready to engage with them. Some more modern ones. Bryce Crawford is one that a lot of young people will know. They're these guys, again, they'll do whatever it takes. They're going to go into the witches' conferences and the LGBTQ rallies, and they're going to get right in there because they have, again, this supernatural ability to cut through all of the noise and say, God sees you, and I'm here to tell you about the gospel. They're going to break into the darkest places and be the light. Okay. Now, what I'm not saying is that everybody is called to that level of evangelist, even though that'd be awesome, right? Part of Jesus returning is that the gospel is reached to the end of the earth. But if that is you and you have that desire, that's a good desire. And my charge to those that have this gift of evangelism, again, make sure that you're giving room to the fullness of the gifts. Be rooted and grounded in the word. Be ready to make defense of the gospel before all men. Okay? That comes through biblical knowledge breathed on by the Holy Spirit. Primary giftings, and I'm talking to everybody right now. Your primary gifting feels natural. And sometimes we don't understand why people can't see that clearly, okay? I've heard it many times as we've gone through this of like, man, why don't people see this way? It's so clear we should be doing this thing, or we should be like pastors. Ray and I have had this conversation many times because he has a pastoral heart. He says, I don't understand why people don't come up and hug every single person in church every single Sunday. And it's like, dude, that's nice, but not everybody has that driving gifting. So what we need to do with knowing that people have natural giftings is your job is not to say this is the way, Your job is to show how it looks, and other people should hopefully pick up on that, right? I have more of an apostolic gifting, which sometimes is a little rough and gruff. That doesn't mean it's the only way. It means that I can pick up from Ray his pastor's heart and say, maybe I need to be a little softer with full truth, right? The evangelist, look at the evangelist. Man, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can go into these wild, dark places and preach the gospel. But that's okay. Let that action say, now how am I an evangelist in my life? So all of the giftings are saying we need a little bit of them all in our lives, and they're present. That's what the fivefold ministry is. That's what the model of shared leadership is we have got to give room for the fullness of the gifts in order for the body of Christ to be edified and for the bride to be made ready. That's the whole goal of all of this stuff. We're bringing in as many people as possible. We're going to stir up the body in righteousness, in holiness, in maturity through all of the other giftings so that when Jesus comes back for a bride, we can say, we're ready. I listened to all the giftings and I gave place through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I'm just going to talk about the spiritual gift test. Who's done the spiritual gift test that we sent out in January? Okay, a few of us. So, you know, you're going to have these, and I don't know how accurate it is. Again, this is a Holy Spirit thing that he's going to have to breathe on you. But when you take this test, I think it's spiritualgifttest.com, and you're going to get like a numbered system, right? You're going to be like, man, your top four, your top five are these giftings based on the questions that you answered. And so it's like, all right, well, evangelism isn't my number one, but it is my number five. So does it look different when it's an auxiliary gift versus a primary gifting? And yes, it does look different with the same goal. So my point here is even if it's not your number one or number three or even number five, maybe it's your number 10. What we do not say and we cannot say is evangelism is not my gifting, therefore I don't have to share because God will bring somebody else more qualified. Who's heard that? I've heard that. I've said that. Someone else can handle this, right? This is not me. But no, God is calling us and he gives us power, the move of the Spirit when it says that he was filled with the Spirit and then something happened. You are able as a son and a daughter of Christ that has the Holy Spirit, that when the opportunity presents itself, he will fill you with the correct gifting in order to encounter the person in front of you because guess what, guys? He loves them. If you can imagine how much he loves you, it's the same love, but for someone that you might not like or you might not know. And so to understand that that's the similar love that we have to encounter people with is, God, how far would you go for me? How far would you go to get me into your kingdom? How far did you go, right? We all have different testimonies of God miraculously encountering us in our darkest moments. And he is calling you, the person that is in front of, the person that no one else might be in front of in our body. He's saying, you're it. And I'm going to fill you with the Spirit to preach my gospel and the hope of what's to come to this person today. So if this is not your primary, pay attention to how you interact with people normally. What do you do naturally in your day? So some people have jobs here that are talking with people daily, right? You're interacting with people daily, okay? Some, man, maybe you don't interact with people daily, but you go to the coffee shop every day. There are people at coffee shops. I don't know if you guys knew that. Does your job involve travel? Guys, I love airplanes. You put somebody blocked in right next to you. They cannot go anywhere. And headphones can only go so loud. There are times where I am silent, but there are times where it's so clear that the Spirit of the Lord wants to encounter somebody right next to me. And it's always... Breezy and I were talking about it this weekend. We went to Glenwood Springs for our quarterly getaway and married people with kids. I'm just going to say this. We have started to do this quarterly getaway where the kids hang out with the family. We go for a couple days away from the house just to reset. We've been doing it for a couple years, and it is so fruitful. And one of the funnest parts is that Breezy and I get to minister together in real life. And so we were at a restaurant, and best barbecue I've had in my life. It was so good. The smoke in Glenwood Springs. So we're sitting there, and this waitress has a cross on, and the Lord just kept started talking to me about her, of just showing me a picture of her being like a flat, smooth hill, or not hill, land that people can get planted in and grow deep in the Lord just because of her presence. And so we start asking her questions. We say, "Hey, Caitlin, hey, I see you have a necklace on. Is that just for style, or is that for something a little deeper?" And she's like, "No, that's for something a little deeper." She's like, I am passionate about Jesus. She's about, I don't know, maybe 23. So she's out of college. And so we just start asking her questions. You know, how's your relationship with the Lord? What are you doing right now? And she's like, "Well, actually, this is my last shift, and I'm moving to Grand Junction." And then so we start telling her this prophetic word that we see of Caitlin. The Lord has called you in your life. Your life's calling is to be around, and just in your being, as you seek Jesus's face, people are going to grow deep in their calling in the Lord. And she's like, "That's crazy." She's like, "I'm literally moving to Grand Junction in 2 days with my cousin because she her desire is to get out of her situation and to grow in the Lord." And she's like, "That is so encouraging to me." And so my point is telling this story is God will often, if we say yes to him, put you in the lives of people in pivotal moments in their lives. I have a dozen stories in the last 12 months of God saying, "Rory, you need to talk to these people." And it's almost always in a pivotal moment of, "I am about to do this. I am switching jobs. I just retired. And so as we encounter the Lord and encounter people just in our daily lives, that's how it can be. So if this is not your primary gifting, be interested in people. A simple evangelism tool, and this is coming, we listened to a podcast by Lake Point. Josh, what's his last name? I don't know. You know him, Josh Howard? Yeah. And he had this really simple way that he spreads the gospel because he travels a lot. And he said this really awesome phrase is, our goal as Christians is not to be interesting, but to be interested. Okay? What that means is I don't want the whole time we're sitting in the airplane to talk about how great you are or how cool your job is or your family or whatever. It's to be interested in the person there because you have the hope and they need the hope. Right? So you can bring Jesus into normal conversation without being a weird Jesus person, right? You have that where it's like almost religious, where you're not really caring about the person in front of you. You just want to talk about Jesus because that's what you're supposed to do. It's care about the person and allow Jesus to speak through you. Does that make sense? So Josh has a awesome way to that he does. It's just a three-question rule. And he gave this example of, I ask, "How are you?" And so let's say, "How are you? Man, I'm doing good today. Tell me why you're good today." "Well, I'm good because I just got a promotion at my job." And they get really excited. And the response is, "Man, I can tell that you're really excited about this promotion and that it matters to you. Can you tell me more about this?" So all of a sudden, we've gone three questions deep about how are you. Good. "Oh, great. How are you?" "Man, pretty good too." "Awesome." Instead, you go one more layer deep because you care about the person in front of you, and all of a sudden, they're opening their life to you. And all you have to do is to be there and to love and to talk about the hope and the relationship that you have with Jesus and that you walk intimately with the King of Kings, with someone asking you about, "Why are you like this? Why do you care about me?" Because that doesn't happen in the world a lot. of a genuine act of care to the person in front of you. And when we do that, we open wild doors to say, I got to have what you have. Or you work into the prophetic, right? Or you work into words of knowledge and words of wisdom where you start saying things that Jesus is talking to you about that person to break in even more, but they already feel loved. So that's the simple evangelism, is be caring about the person that is in front of you. Can we do that? We can do that. All right. Let's talk about words of knowledge. So in the biblical context, a word of knowledge is generally understood as a spiritual gift where God reveals specific information to a believer about a person or situation that they couldn't have known otherwise. First Corinthians 12, this is the last time in this series that we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 12. It's the last. Okay, for one is given through the spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same spirit. So he's talking about this, of that there's a differentiation between the prophetic, words of knowledge, and words of wisdom. And words of knowledge and wisdom, for me, I would really put them into the prophetic giftings, okay? So we don't have to be super clear of, like, if we're talking about the prophetic, don't get too nitty-gritty and say, well, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about wisdom or knowledge or just normal? It doesn't matter. It's a prophetic gifting, and it's an entry into someone else's life through the Holy Spirit speaking to you. 1 Corinthians 14, and this is perhaps the best example of a word of knowledge leading to evangelism. Paul writes, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you people. Jeez, that's good. What he's saying is, it doesn't matter about your words or how good the music is when someone walks into the door, is the people of Restoration Fellowship so ingrained in the prophetic that we say, I see this in your life and I want to encourage you today. And they say, whoa, there's a God that knows the deepest secrets of my heart, and he cares so much about me that he has used somebody in Restoration Fellowship to speak to me. God, I want to know this God. So this prophetic aspect of walking from unknowing and unknowable to the hope of the gospel. Okay? There's a wall that's built up around all people because we want to be protected. But the prophetic breaks through this invisible wall to open up, to understand the God of the universe cares and wants to know all men. A couple of examples of this. In John 4, a lot of us know this story, but Jesus encountering the Samaritan woman at the well. And we'll have that up there. But I'm just going to give you an overview of this story. So Jesus goes, he's in Samaria. He goes to this well. He doesn't have anything to draw from it. So he asks the Samaritan woman, would you mind drawing me some water? And there was that didn't happen, right? Jewish men did not ask Samaritan women for anything. And so she says, well, don't you know who I am? So we go through this story of him saying, if you knew who I was, you would actually ask me for water. And then he goes on in a word of knowledge saying, telling her about her romantic life in such detail that she's like, whoa, what just happened? And convinced her that he was a prophet, and leading her to tell her whole village about Jesus. So because there was a prophetic utterance of a word of knowledge, something that he shouldn't have known, it led almost instantaneously to her telling everyone, you need to know this man Jesus because he knows the depths of my heart, right? That's an embarrassing moment. It's like, I should feel ashamed because you just read my mail. But what it actually turned into was hope that this man, Jesus, knows all, and that very soon, the Samaritans and the Jews and the Gentiles are going to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. The next one, which I love, John 1. And if you guys have seen the The Chosen, they depict this story so well with Nathaniel. So this is where Jesus told Nathaniel that he saw him under a fig tree before they even met. He saw him there. And in The Chosen, it goes through this whole thing where Nathaniel is sitting underneath this fig tree and he's crying out to the Lord. And that gets me so much because the God of the universe hears every cry, every crying out. And so because Jesus said, Nathaniel, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathaniel breaks. And he immediately declares, he says, you are the Son of God. There was a revelation because his heart was known through a word of knowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. And so for us, as we live our lives before the throne, before intimacy with Jesus, people are going to see that life and that light deep within us. A more intense word of knowledge story is in Acts 5. And you don't have to put that one up there. But again, this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and Peter having a word of knowledge about Ananias, saying that you lied about what your offering that you brought before the Lord. There was lying in the midst of the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit struck him down. That's super intense. And so the reason that I put this in the message is that as we grow in intimacy with the Lord and these words of knowledge in the body of Christ, most of the time it's an encouraging thing, but there are going to be times where God reveals the secrets of your heart as a believer to other believers to draw us into holiness and repentance. And so just know that's an aspect, but we still need maturity in this training, so don't go around pointing fingers. Okay, words of knowledge, this gifting is a tool for breaking into people's hearts and minds through the power of the Spirit. Like some of the other power giftings like prophecy, words of wisdom, healing, or miracles, this gift is like a small dagger that pierces the heart of the person in front of us that needs to be healed. God knows the area that we need to push, and he speaks through us in this words of knowledge thing to pierce the hearts. Sometimes this gifting will look like you'll get a picture in your mind or just like a knowing, like you just know things are true. And sometimes it looks like your body aching in ways that normally doesn't ache. I don't know if you guys remember about that story. Last Easter, we were praying, and we do this sometimes before service, where we'll pray and ask God, hey, if there is an ailment today, would you tell us what it is? Or if there's somebody that needs to be prayed for, would you tell? And so we had three different words of knowledge on Easter. And it was what this person was wearing, what their background was in their spouse's name, and then what was actually an ailment on their body. So we said this from the front, and it was about a torn right ACL. And the guy was here, and he's, I don't know if he's here today. I don't see him. But he was here, first time that I had seen him. He says, oh my gosh, that's me. They just said everything that I'm going through right now. So he stands up. He doesn't even make it down front, where a couple of our passionate healers in restoration pray over him, and he goes from wearing a brace to waving the brace above his head. And he was encountered in healing, and yeah, amen. He was encountered in healing, and not only that, but what he needed in that moment was, I need to know that I am loved by the Father and seen. And so what the Father did, not only did he get healed, but it was, I see you. Yeah, you in the red shirt. I see your relationship. And I see your aching body. And today is the day, if you'll just come forward. And so he was able, through a word of knowledge, to see that. And that was by normal people. That was the worship team and random people in our prayer meeting saying, I think I see something. And walking forward into that. While we learn to minister, this gift often comes up if God is wanting to give you knowledge or help guide a person into a place where the Holy Spirit can heal the entirety of the person. It's a deep place. But do not be discouraged and do not be pushy. If what you see or feel is not accepted by those that you're ministering to, which happens, first off, we have to realize that we're human and we can be wrong, right? If we feel like there's a word from the Lord, we cannot say, "Thus saith the Lord." Our job is saying, "I feel like I heard this from the Lord, and I'm going to submit that to you." That is in front of the body, other brothers and sisters, as well as unbelievers as we're praying for. Because if they're like, "Man, I don't think so," we could be wrong. And they also could be resistant, but we are done, right? As soon as we deliver a word of knowledge, that's the extent. We cannot convince. Only the Holy Spirit can convince. And to fail or to be wrong is okay. Okay? We say that? It's okay to be wrong. Say it again. It's okay to be wrong. And those people that are perfectionists are like, "I don't think so, Rory. I don't think that's a word from the Lord." It's okay to be wrong because the Lord will extend grace and we can move forward. As we encounter people in love with overflowing hearts of encountering the King, they see truth through our lives and how we are showing up. Don't we want to live in that always, that we're so close to the Father through intimacy? That's what Jesus outlined for us, okay? He ministered, and he was very intimate with people, but what he showed us more than anything is be drawn away into the wilderness to know the Father so that you can come back out with full power and full truth. Okay. So another way, if you're wanting to practice in those words of knowledge, treasure hunts are a great example of this. And what that is, a treasure hunt, is getting with a group, 3 to 4 people. We used to do this a lot, just traveling around different places I've been. And you basically ask the Lord, say, "Lord, where do you want me to go tonight? And who do you want me to encounter with your love?" And then in the group, you might say, "Man, I saw the Walmart sign," which is the most popular place to go treasure hunting is Walmart, hands down. Because there's all sorts of people there. It's like, "Yeah, I saw that, and then we're supposed to be in the medicine aisle, and we're going to look for somebody with a brace." And so you go there, you go to the medicine aisle, and you see somebody with a brace. You're like, "All right, well, we did it. See ya." You know, no, it's then we have to step in faith saying, "Hey, crazy story. We were praying, and we came here literally to find you because God said you're going to be in this aisle. How are you doing? Man, I'm not doing good. I broke my foot, and I lost my job." Well, the God of the universe is here to say that he loves you, and he wants to heal you today. Oh, my gosh, why are you saying that? Don't say that before it can happen. That's like a cop saying, we're guaranteed we're going to solve this case. You don't say that. At least that's what the movies say. No, this is walking in faith, saying, "I have been brought here to a reason, and I know that God loves this person in front of me so much that he wants to encounter them in healing," and then you walk it out. So, great way to practice that. If you guys are interested in doing that, let's talk about it. Bring it up. Okay. So, let's wrap up. Yes. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That's right. That we are all qualified to pray over one another. When we accept the Holy Spirit, he can pray through us. Just don't do it alone. All right. So while evangelism is the what, and Bethany, go ahead and let's come on up. While evangelism is the what, that's the sharing the good news, words of knowledge are often the how we get in there. A tool provided by the Spirit to demonstrate God's presence. As Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, says, my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so what he's saying there is we cannot be ones that just convince. The Holy Spirit has to work through us in order to pierce someone else's heart. I asked the internet, what was the fullness of the gospel? What is the message of the gospel as the internet understands it? And it gave me this. In its most fundamental sense, the fullness is the set of doctrines required for salvation, faith in Jesus, repentance, baptism by immersion, and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and enduring to the end. Right? Would we all agree that that is all true? But the fullness of the gospel does not end there, because if our hope is only to survive this life, we've missed it. The fullness and the hope of the gospel and what people are actually looking to. Guys, the amount of conversations that I have had with believers about what the hope of the gospel is mind-boggling. Earlier this week, I was in Houston for a work trip, and I was talking to a Catholic, and he's telling me a story. And I asked him the question. I said, what is the hope? Why are you doing this? And he gave me a very similar answer of, well, really, all the Father is about is that I live a good and happy life until I see him. And he asked me, he's like, I say that. But I'm talking to you and I feel like I might be missing something. And so I tell him the gospel. And I said, you're right that Jesus did come and he died and you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But the most exciting aspect of this gospel that we call the good news is that the King of the universe, the one that has fastened all of the galaxies, billions of stars, has sent his son and says, I need you to make a way for me and for Brian and for George and for Cassie to be together forever, to rule and reign on a renewed earth with a renewed body. In the fullness of everything that Jesus originally created us for, our hope is in eternity. An active, living eternity where we're not just sitting around, guys. If you think this life is exciting, I live a blessed, amazing, fun life. My kids live an amazing, blessed, and fun life. You guys know what we're most excited for? The King of the universe. To break in and for us to share a meal with him. To see my dad again. The fullness of family and relationship. And there are hungry people. Guys, even our brothers and sisters in Christ are longing for this because they're looking at other religions. They're looking for other hopes. They're looking for places. How can I fill this in my life when they're just waiting to be encountered by the one and they're crying out? This words of knowledge thing is huge. I'm going to give you one story before we close. We were in South Africa, and I might have already said this story, so I apologize, but we're in South Africa, and again, we're eating a meal, and our waitress comes up, and the Lord speaks so clearly. He says, ask her about her dream last night. And so I ask her, I'm like, hey, can you tell me about the dream you had last night? And she's like, and she pauses for a second, and she says, I had this dream, and it was about this relationship with her husband, and there was just such a weighty and a heaviness on her. And she's like, and I'm crying out to the Lord to break into the situation because I have no hope left. And in that moment, she's obviously a believer because she's crying out to the Lord. In that moment, God meets her the same day from a family that lives thousands of miles away. But because we said, we're going to pause our meal for a second and we're going to say that Jesus loves you. And he sees you even in your dreams. And he sees you crying out for hope. How much more are those that don't know Jesus lacking hope? How much more do they need us? Our whole story is wrapped in the gospel. Not just the start, but carrying through to the end. That's what it says. It says, when the Spirit and the bride say, come, then I will come. You know when the bride says, come? I got my makeup on. I got my dress on. I am fully ready. Come on. The fullness of the gospel is a story of redemption. Saying, I'm going to take the worst of you and love you and hope. And I'm going to call you, prepare yourself for a wedding. What does that mean? That's abandoning this life. That's abandoning the hope and the excitement of this life and saying, yes, Jesus, I want your holiness and I want your fullness. Would you tear me out from the inside so that there's hope remaining? And guys, when we get this hope thing, there is not one person that misses it. Because I don't know if you guys have experienced this. They come up to you, they're like, what? What do you have? Why are you different? And if you're not being asked this question, get before the Lord. Seek his face that he may know you deeply. Ministry team, come on up. So this morning, what we're going to be after, if you're feeling this, first off, if you have this gift of evangelism or word of knowledge, want to grow in it, if you have been overcome by the fear of man and not walked in it, we want to pray over that too. Or if you just need to get before the Lord and let him speak to you, that's okay too. So Jesus, we thank you that you pour out your hope and your blessing upon all flesh. And all we got to do is say yes. And so this morning we say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you encountering other people through our lives, God. Would you give us a hunger for your word? Would you give a hunger for your presence that we may seek your face and encounter people with the hope of the gospel? This morning, the Lord wants to break off shame. If you have shame in your life that you feel has disqualified you, this morning is the morning to break that off. You have not missed it. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day that the Lord has called you his own. Let's go ahead and stand up as we end. Come on forth for prayer if you need it.